Reading from the book of Revelation. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Our first scripture reading is found in the book of Deuteronomy. It's on page 224, and we read Deuteronomy chapter 32, beginning at verse 36. "The Lord will vindicate his people and have compassion on his servants when he sees that their power is gone, and there is none remaining, bond or free. Then he will say, 'Where are their gods, the rock in which they took refuge, who ate the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offering? Let them rise up and help you. Let them be your protection. See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God beside me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. And there is none that can deliver me, deliver out of my hand. Our second reading is taken from Philippians. It's on page 1256 in your pew Bibles. And we read Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee would bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The Holy Gospel is found in the Gospel according to St. John, found on page 1151 in your pew Bibles. And we read John chapter 12, beginning at verse 9. "When the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, they came not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to put Lazarus to death as well. because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel lesson for today, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. I'd like to reread these words from that lesson. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard he had done this sign. This is our text. It had to be a magnificent day in Jerusalem. That day when Jesus entered amidst the praise of the crowds. It was kind of like being a rock star. Every now and again we see crowds like this, if you will, going crazy. I remember when I was young, about 5, 6 years old, I went to a movie where crowds were kind of crazy. It was the Beatles, and the movie was called Help. How many of you went to see that when you were younger? I couldn't hear the movie because inside girls were screaming constantly. It was one of the most miserable days actually in my life. A great movie, I couldn't even watch it. I thought all these people were crazy. But every now and again, you witness this phenomenon. Somebody becoming so popular, the crowds just go nuts. And that's what's going on in our text for today. They're going to the trees and stripping them and waving palm branches. They're taking off their coats and their cloaks and throwing them on the ground so that his donkey can walk into Jerusalem on a paved highway. And the question is, why? What is it that Jesus has done that has whipped the crowds up to this franticness? Well, let's examine what it was not first. Well, first of all, he didn't play guitar, and I have no idea how well he sung. But it wasn't just his teaching, because, you know, there was nothing new in it. Oh, he might have explained things a little better, a little differently from the way the rabbis were doing things in that day and age. But in the essence, the words that he taught to people were the same words that had been found in Scripture long before Jesus was born. What does he say during his Sermon on the Mount? He talks about the Word never changing. Speaking about the Law and the Prophets, he says, you know, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will disappear until all has been accomplished. And he says again, I did not come to abolish the Law and the Prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. There wasn't something that was radically new in the teaching of Jesus. Love one another? That's in the Old Testament. Love your neighbor as yourself? That's in the Old Testament too. But as I reread the words of our text for this morning, what really got the crowds going became abundantly apparent. It wasn't merely the teaching of Jesus. It was what Jesus could do. The Gospel of John begins by telling us that in Jesus was life. And that life was the light of men. And just a short time before his entry into Jerusalem, he proved that he really was life. A man dead 4 days is brought back to life. And that's why the crowds are going crazy. It's not just what Jesus teaches. It's what he does. You know, 10 maybe years ago now, there was another rock group besides the Beatles that was causing quite a stir. How many of you've heard of Milli Vanilli? Okay. Yeah, oh, they were popular for a while. They were getting awards. Crowds were going crazy to see them. They were the hottest ticket in town for a while. And then it turned out that all the songs they were singing, they weren't actually singing. They were fakes. They were phonies. What they claimed they could do, they couldn't. And if you will, tickets to their concerts immediately became the cheapest thing in town. Nobody went to hear them anymore. Oh, they were rock stars at one point in time, but their careers came to a sudden and forever halt. One of them even took his own life a few years back. People don't gather together to hear fakes. In him was life. He could raise the dead himself. But a few short days after Palm Sunday, he was nailed to a cross. And this man who claimed to have life in himself was dead and in a grave. People don't gather together to give praise to fakes. Is Jesus raised from the dead? I would submit to you this morning that he is. And the fact that we are here some 2,000 years after that fact is witness to it. Everyone, even his disciples, were devastated by his death. Something happened to change that. And that is the good news of his glorious resurrection. And he didn't just appear to people in dreams or in visions. He appeared in his own body. When they thought they were seeing a ghost, he ate and drank before them. He didn't appear to just a few. In one particular encounter, 500 people saw him. In him is life. And that's why we are here today. Not just because of what he taught, but because of what he did. But what he did also validates what he taught. All the words of Scripture, not just some of them, are what give us life and truth and freedom. Again, from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. If you remain in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. What are those words? Well, they are the words of the resurrection. They are the words of forgiveness. But the life to which he calls us are those words which he also preached and proclaimed that had been written so long ago. Words like, have no other gods, because there is no other God that gives you life. Don't use his name vainly. It's too important. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your parents. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. And all the other words which God speaks to us in Scripture about the life we are to live. Those aren't maybe sometimes. They're not just good suggestions. They're not the kinds of words you can take it or leave it. They are the life that God has called us to. It's the life we're going to live with him in heaven. And if we don't want to live it now, we can't live it with him later. This is the life that God wants to give us. And Jesus gave his blood on the cross so that when we have failed to live that life, our sins might be forgiven. But as Lazarus was raised from the dead, as Jesus is raised from the dead, it's not to live the kind of life that you want to live. It's to live the life that he died to give you. The life laid out in all his words. And his words are true. Not just because he said so, although he did. He has proven them to be true. In his death, and most gloriously, in his resurrection, he was and still is, if you will, a rock star. Because there was nothing fake about him. The words he spoke are words of truth. And he's raised from the dead. And our gathering here is witness to that. Because the world doesn't follow fakes. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.